Broadcast Network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans. Producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows. Interviewing celebrities and showrunners. And bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Get ready, because we sing.
Nobody knows where they might end up. Nobody knows.
Bam. Dark dancer headphones off. Whoa.
What?
Yes, we're super fans.
Hey, what's going on, you guys? You have tuned into a super-sized edition of the Grey's Anatomy After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Hello, Jason J. Carter in studio. Ladies, hello.
Hello, I'm Julie Parton. Stoked to be here.
And I'm Star Session.
And I'm Kristen Strange.
And friends, AfterBuzzers, the world in studio exclusively is Miss Kelly McCreary.
Yay! Yes. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming, Kelly. You are stunning.
Thank you.
Yeah. Very much. I'm not into females, so if that's a legit compliment, sweetie.
Thank you.
I'm keeping it real. Kelly McCreary, Maggie Pierce. Oh, God. So tonight was the winter finale of Grey's Anatomy season 11, and I just have to start by saying it's only like November, what?
I know.
It came so soon.
We needed to release a few more episodes like December, to get us through.
Maybe like a Thanksgiving
We're
episode.
We're not coming back till almost February.
What is that? Whose ass do we need to kick?
I don't know.
Kelly?
I wish. I was just getting this into the hang of like the tweeting and the like engagement every week and getting really excited, and now I'm like, oh,
it's over.
You know what? I do like it. I like it a little bit better than when they used to just throw it out there on a Thursday, you'll have one or you don't.
Right.
They made it where there'd be a long gap instead of just off and on all the time. So it's less confusing, but still, it's a very long time without it. And we are starved by the end of the break.
Every year they have that damn Charlie Brown Christmas. It's like, who watches that?
I used to watch that every
so
year.
Bad. They should remaster that. It's horrible. Anyway, Kelly McCreary in studio. You have been the breakout star of season 11.
Yes, you have.
The fans have spoken.
Thank you. Thanks, fans.
And we first of all, we saw you leaning in on Scandal last season for the finale.
You told
Columbus, look, I'm gonna lean in on this one. I'm gonna do me. Bye.
That Scandal character was very different. This is like a super sexy lady.
I know. Wasn't she such a badass? I loved her. Girl, you guys, they had me in Helmut Lang leather.
Yeah.
From like head to toe. I was like, I want to live in Scandal Land forever.
Right? I have always thought that if I could raid Olivia Pope's peacoat closet, I would be a new woman.
No, her gloves.
Not the show, though. Not the show. No. Back to Scrubville.
Scrubville is fantastic. It's going to work in your PJs.
Right.
It's
your flats.
Beat.
You hardly ever get that
sneakers.
On set. Yes.
Ooh. Sneakers.
Yes.
You know, Meredith's been wearing them same sneakers for weeks.
The Converse. Yeah. Right.
11 seasons.
Couldn't they get some Jordans or something? I mean, they know they got money. Come on now. Kelly, though, you are now Grey's royalty. I mean, you have been indoctrinated into the Ellis Meredith Richard trifecta.
I know.
Let's just talk about it. We'll talk about the show in a minute. Let's get into you.
Okay.
I mean, this is huge. Being a sister of Meredith, you know, comes with a lot. You're not dead yet, so that's great.
Oh, you would have died off by now.
Another family member of hers.
Yeah, we're going to stop watching.
Well, that's what I keep saying. They've already killed them all, so they write the new ones in.
But, I mean, when you auditioned for this part, when you got the part, were you aware of the magnitude you would have on the story?
No, when I auditioned for this part, I went in and, like, I was going in for a doctor. I read, like, an OR scene, and then I read, like, a bar scene, and the character's name was Claudette.
Well, why would she name her Claudette?
Well, because the character that I read at the time, I had no knowledge of the fact that she was, you know, Meredith's half-sister. and Richard's daughter, and like part of that whole mythology. Yeah. No, I was just going in to play a doctor. In fact, my very first day of shooting, I still didn't know who this person was. I thought my name was Claudette. I had, it was the scene where I was interviewing for the job with Christina Yang,
right.
played with Sandra Oh, the amazing Sandra Oh.
Yes, yes.
And she had a prop that, like, was my resume that she was looking over, and it was all Dr. Maggie Pierce, and I was like, no, I think I'm Claudette.
Who the hell's Maggie?
No, I know my name. It's Claudette. But it totally was not. I had no idea even for that whole episode.
Did you watch the show before you auditioned?
I had watched the early seasons.
The good ones? Good for you.
I think it's still pretty good.
No, but the early seasons were like epic.
Well, they were groundbreaking
in
many ways. And they were like, oh, God, it was just so satisfying to see.
Yes, it was.
You know, that kind of female lead, all of those people looking so mm-hmm. different and just representing real life.
Yep.
And
Here. That's why we love Grace, too.
Exactly. Preach. And then, you know, the darkness. Oh,
it was dark and twisty.
It was so unusual,
right.
You know, when it came on the air. And now everybody's trying to be like it. No, everyone's very unique and special in their own ways. So I had watched the early seasons. And then once I got the job, like over the summer hiatus, I very stupidly watched like season 10 and then season 9 and then season 8
oh, you
and
went
I
backwards.
Was so confused.
Right,
so
yeah.
I started over from the beginning and then I got to like season 3.
That's easily the worst way you could have done it.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, one of the things we always talk about here, Kelly, is how Shonda and the writers create you hit the nail on the head. Real life situations, things that, you know, this is a very interracial family. You know, and even for me, I was like, whoa, there's no way that's going to fly. But through watching the shows, you and Meredith, or Maggie and Meredith, I'm sorry, the characters, you have so many similarities, it's uncanny.
Yeah, the writers did a great job with that.
I love those little, like, Easter egg things that they, you know, when we're like just going at loggerheads and we're like, oh yes, that's right, we're both very stubborn.
Right.
You know? Like, you know, all of these little things that come up are so fun. And even just the little touch of the crossword puzzle that I share in common with Richard, it was just like, you know, they really are trying to help us as actors and the audience
to believe
out.
Right.
with getting on board with this story, because you know, Maggie's here for the moment.
Right.
Not going anywhere.
Yeah.
She's here to stay, and we knew that almost from the beginning, because what was so shocking, immediately a Maggie episode.
Yeah.
Right. Like, off the bat. Narrating it even.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, imagine my surprise. Here I am, Claudette.
And now you're Maggie. Or the finale last season where, I mean, we had no clue. We're like, okay, you know, she's sitting out there with Richard on the bench. And then, this hospital is named after my mom. Did you know her? Her name was Ellis Gray. Boom.
I know.
Fade to black.
I mean, how did it feel to go from just a walk-on to, like, a series regular now?
To a heavy hitter.
Heavy hitter. Was there a big moment of like, wow, this is big?
And
this
pressure.
Is my new thing.
Working with Shonda, it's a big thing.
And pressure.
Well, I mean, I knew that the character was going to be around for a little while at the end of the season. And so, but when I got that episode, when I got the script for that episode, first I wept because I was like...
You said you wept.
I was like, what is this? Like, I thought I would do a couple scenes here and there. And like, this is an enormous amount of material and... you know, investment in both this character and me as an actor and everything. And I was just like, you know, I wasn't sure I could handle the pressure. But then, you know, all that stuff has to go away because you just got to
do your job.
Were you worried at all coming in that, oh, here's Meredith with another sister? You know, we did that with Lexi where they hated each other and then they kind of grew to it.
You know, I didn't really think about that too much. So I was like, what am I going to do about it? Like, this is what they're doing. So, and I'm the one playing it. So I got to kind of dismiss any concerns about how the audience is going to react, because they're going to react how they're going to react.
Right.
And then, you know, everyone's life will go on.
That's for sure. Well, tonight was the winter finale of season 11. And, you know, normally when Grace has a finale, regardless if it's the winter finale or if it's the season finale, it's normally met with a really good cliffhanger, right?
Someone usually dies.
Or like a death.
Right. But tonight I felt...
Or a tree falls to the window. Or a catastrophic occurrence.
Or like an airplane.
Or like five tornadoes
shooting.
In one place.
All things we love.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah. You may, okay, so... But tonight's episode, let's get into it. We open up with
the infection patient.
The infection patient who, leave it to Grey's Anatomy for you to come in with the cold, all of a sudden you leave with the
root canal. This was easily the scariest patient story I've ever seen in 11 seasons.
Right.
How could a root canal cause you to have brain damage back infection?
Yeah, was just like over the top.
As if
like,
we're could you imagine? Not scared enough of right? root canal.
You coming that's for a root canal?
A brain abscess? That's on the list no of stuff?
They took it to the next level. Right. Yeah. It was like too much because I was like, wait. Now I need to like be up on my dental work. Now
and
I'm like...
I just got a tooth filled, and I was like, oh, my God. It's been painful for, like, a month.
Yep.
Go back.
You're next, Kristen.
My brain's going to explode now.
But we see, you know, in the scene, we see Maggie and Meredith, you know, wanting to do... Maggie calls for a general consult from a shepherd, and Meredith shows up. And then you also... But you also have Derek, who's thinking about the neuro side of it.
Of course.
And I kind of played back and forth. I was like, you know what? Okay, if I had to pick, I probably went with the ladies, because it seemed like that was more pressing what was going on with her in her heart and versus her brain. And I still couldn't wrap my head around what was going on with her brain anyways. I was like, wait, is she having a brain bleed? Is she... You know,
a brain abscess. So the infection had just... plussed up into the brain.
Okay. Right.
Look at you.
I know a lot about... It's a little strange how much I know about the medical field just from this show.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh, really?
Kelly, I've saved a life from watching Grey's. Yeah.
Don't listen to him.
I'm like a little bit worried about that. I'm like, what were you doing?
I was at KFC and someone choked on a chicken wing and I had to perform the Heimlich. I learned it on Grey's. It happens. But so, I mean, and then, yeah, it was just that patient's story was not as severe as the dude. I don't mean to laugh, but the guy who was, you know, learning to walk again.
Mm-hmm. That is not funny.
The reason why it's not funny, the reason why is because in the realm of Grey's Anatomy, leave it to the writers to have this guy who's missing a limb fall, hit his head, bleed profusely, and then be brain dead.
Okay, I see what you're saying. You know, the leap from root canal to brain infection is just the same of take a step down to coma.
Right.
There was so much blood, though.
It was alarming.
And everyone knows I love blood, so I was like, finally, it was like the only blood on the episode, this episode.
It really was.
I was like, where's my blood?
So it was Callie's vet program, and she's
poor
getting these two guys. I know, she's getting
poor
these two
Callie.
Young soldiers, ex-soldiers, I guess, new legs, and they're competing against each other, and they take it a little bit too far.
I love the competition aspect of it.
I do, too. I didn't see why it was a problem.
Yeah, Owen was like, such a Debbie Downer.
He's always a Debbie Downer and blinking 5 miles an hour. Owen this season has...
He's so unhappy.
He's like the new chief. Doesn't really have a job, but walks around and does something.
Yeah, and like talks.
You know, like know what Owen does. I never see him operate. When he's operating, he's like, you know, let me just take out this lung real quick, and I'm gonna go back to doing whatever I was doing before. It's very weird. But you're right. He's very brooding this season, yeah. I guess. I don't know, but he's
mourning
he
the loss
damn
of
sexy,
Christina.
Though.
He's mourning the loss of Christina.
Right.
He's kind
we
of
all
just
are.
Yeah. She's mm-hmm. with Shane in the where's she go? Norway,
Switzerland.
Same place. Zurich. Getting
Zurich.
Some of that chocolate. Good for you, Sandra. Oh, okay. So, but you know that the Callie patient story was. I kind of want that to go down because I wanted Callie to be happy again. You know, she broke up with Arizona.
Callie's going to get her groove back,
yeah,
honestly. I feel like she's on the verge of getting her groove back right now. She's just going through a little bit of fumbles.
A rough patch.
You know what I mean? But I really like that moment that they that Arizona and Callie had together.
Fantastic.
You didn't? No, I didn't like it because I felt like they were going backwards. No.
Kristen, have you ever broken up with someone like that before?
I mean, I've never been married, so.
But you've been in love with someone, correct?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so I felt in that moment even though they're not going backwards, they were just identifying with each other's pain at the moment, and they're being a friend for each other. That's okay, because it's better to move forward in that, I guess, capacity than to be bitter and to, like, avoid each other.
I just don't want to see that as the beginning of them.
Oh,
I see what you're saying. Like, I feel like we have just been through the ringer with that storyline, and it's just maybe backtracking to a place where we don't want to go again.
And I think that was a natural... thing to happen.
Exactly.
They work together.
Right.
They have a kid together. And you're going to see each other in the hallways. And Arizona just had that moment. Can we just talk as if things are okay?
Kelly.
And I think that was just like something that, you know, is natural.
Natural.
You know what I mean?
I
don't think they're going to go backwards. I think
had
that moment. Arizona blatantly asked her, you know, do you miss me? And she was like, well, I guess not enough, you know? So
it's natural. I don't know. What do you think about this whole relationship going back and forth?
Because everyone was shocked that those two broke up.
I wasn't.
I wish that was the couple for a lot of people.
Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it was that was a really majorly important relationship to the show and like to society. You know, it was a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
But you know, like we talked about it all the time. Like they were constantly, and it's been talked about in the press. They were putting Band-Aids on a bad situation.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Like neither of them was happy anymore. Look, is it Louis C.K. who has got that joke about like? You know, don't ever feel bad for people who are divorced because, like, it wasn't a good marriage.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Like, don't say I'm sorry after a divorce. You know, so
I
it's
agree.
Like, you know, it wasn't a good thing. Hopefully, you know, they will find happiness again. Maybe it'll be separately. Who really knows?
But don't you think? I think now that they're more broken up. Okay, now we're broken up.
Like, broken.
Derek is more human. Derek is more human. But no, I feel that in this episode, for once, we can. The only time Arizona. Okay, in my Grey's history, in my life with Grey's, there's only been three moments where Arizona and Callie have been absolutely dynamic. And Beat Your Heart Out, season 4, when we first meet her in the bathroom where she kisses her.
Yeah.
Epic moment.
Okay.
When Callie gets in the car accident.
Yeah.
That whole. And then now, because now we see Arizona in a new light with a new direction.
Now?
Not being so dependent on Callie and Sophia and her leg being missing. I thought Arizona's character tonight was fantastic.
I think her character is definitely taking a turn for the better.
About time.
Because she needed something to go off than just being angry every episode.
She's always the villain.
Yeah, and she was always the villain. She was either hurt, she was either, you know, she was going through all these different emotions for the last few seasons, so it's great to see her maybe be happy, but be, not even happy, but just... being the person that is, like, speaking up. She's not speaking up about this whole
situation.
I know
what you're saying.
You know, she's just being...
So, Kelly, can you tell us, do you know, were they surprised that those two characters were going to split up? Were the actors?
I think they... I'm hesitant to speak for either of them, but honestly, I do think that they were. I mean, everybody wanted to know what was going on, you know, and everyone was asking all of us, you know, in terms of, like, press and stuff, and none of us were given any answers. Well, so when we read that script, it was like, oh, dang, okay.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and especially for as many twists and turns as it went through, even in the context of that one episode, those 30 days in therapy, right?
Love that episode.
So good, right?
Yeah.
So well-structured. But, I would say that, yes, I think it came as a surprise to them.
Yeah, it just seems like they fought for so long, so hard.
But sometimes when you study long, you study wrong, you know? And I feel, and I've always, I go off of a feeling I have with a chemistry, a certain, you know, I felt that Callie and Arizona were always just so, it's your fault. No, it's your fault.
Yeah.
They can never get past all these hurdles that have happened to them in the course of their relationship. Because a lot of bad things have happened to them.
Yeah.
She lost a leg. She was in a car accident. Like, all these things that in real life would screw somebody up. I mean, a plane crash, you know? So it's just better for them to go their own way. Kelly, I have to ask you, the writers... Grey's Anatomy is by far one of the best written shows on TV. Just so many elements and so many different things go in to make it what I call the Grey's magic. Mm-hmm. What is it like at the table when you do table reads? Is it emotional? Like what goes on?
Oh my God, this episode?
Yeah.
Everyone is just like bawling, you know. I mean, yeah, it's very emotional, and there's so much expectation because a lot of times the scripts are being worked on until the 11th hour,
right.
You know, and we cold read them every episode at the table, and you know, sometimes you have some idea of where your character is going to go, but things get changed around all the time, you know? Like, things get tweaked up there in the writer's room, and an idea that you had that they seem to be on board with might have completely changed by the time you get the script at the table.
Yeah.
So it's really exciting. I agree with you. I think it's a really well-written show, and so I happen to have a lot of faith in like... whatever choices they've made, they're probably for the best. And then, you know, from time to time, we'll be like, actually, hold on a second.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think my character might actually just say this instead or whatever. But yeah, generally speaking, I did pilot season last year.
Do you, can you think of a specific time?
There's a lot of bad TV out there, Kelly.
Can you think of a time when you said that? Actually, I think Maggie would do this.
Uh-huh. I didn't win. I didn't win that time, but yeah, no, yeah, I've had just a couple of instances where I was like, you know, let's see if we can explore this dimension of her, you know, relationship.
Are you similar to her? Or are you more like exactly. the sexy scandal girl?
I would say I've got a lot more of the type A nerd vibe going on. Yeah, I mean, I have my sexy scandal moments.
We all do.
Don't we all?
We wake up like this.
Put me in some helmet laying leather.
And some gloves. You gotta have the gloves.
You know, you gotta have the gloves, a fabulous cashmere coat. Yeah.
Right. And then the walk. Like, you know, that whole, like, I'm fierce. I'm gonna take over the world any minute now.
Just always on a runway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's just, yeah. The hair, it's like so
that is ridiculous. Don't ever do that again.
I was Olivia Pope for Halloween.
Okay? No, are you serious?
No, I was not.
Don't listen to anything that's I was gonna say. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Kelly, Tu Wong Fu, Wesley Snipes. Could you picture that? That's how I would look as Olivia Pope. Meredith and Derek. Kelly.
This hurt me.
I think that they're trying to do what they did with Callie in Arizona and make us disconnect to that.
I called it, though.
But here's the thing. I just can't believe she disrespected her husband like that.
In front of everybody.
In that many different ways. Yeah. Mm-hmm. To me,
Derek totally castrated him.
Hold up. What? When? Huh?
Then. Okay, so here's what she did. Meredith's really mean this whole season.
She's very icy.
This is what we've broken it down to in summary. Derek made that decision to stay for his family, mm-hmm. but he needs to own it with pride. Mm-hmm. And he's not. He's just feeling resentment about it.
But as he said... Okay, continue.
But so anyway, tonight, she comes in there, he's giving his opinion, you don't have any rank. It's like she had to remind him, you don't have any rank, in front of everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. She kind of, like,
she's
did
like
a low ball.
She's, like, digging the knife.
Yep.
That was...
She's queen
that's
of the
interesting,
low
because I really felt that was, you know, obviously we're in a high-stakes life-and-death situation mm-hmm. here. And she and I agreed on one course of medical action for this patient, and he was trying to, like, usurp us, and it was like, hey, dude, I'm the head of cardio.
Yeah.
And she was my sister, and she had my back in that moment. I see what you're saying about the public humiliation thing, but I don't think it was intended to be humiliating.
It could have just come better from Maggie. Maggie could have made that exact same speech, and I would have been on board. But Meredith could have said it in a nicer way. She was humiliating to
and
him.
It seemed like during that whole issue, Maggie was the one that was like, oh, okay, let's talk about this rationally. And Meredith's just like,
they kept going back to that, back and forth with that when she was speaking to Karev. She 911'd Karev because she knew that she was kind of being a little conniving.
She needed reassurance.
Right. And then she realized, well, maybe I am jabbing at him. So I think there was that moment of like...
But do you guys see
the jabs?
Is it clear as day how with all the experimental, you know, filming, how they're making Meredith to be like her mother?
Yes.
Thank you. Because I've been saying that all season.
Oh my God, I've turned into my mother.
I've been saying that since last season. Meredith is more
Derek
and more.
Derek already said that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Becoming.
Which is the meanest thing you could say to your wife.
Just like
no,
your mother.
But, Mom,
I mean,
love
Meredith
you.
Used to be, if you watch Grey's from season one, you've seen so many, Meredith become, she used to be playful, fun, joyful, real young, and now she's
well, we
like.
We saw it tonight.
Right. She's
that montage was just like, oh my gosh, they were so young and youthful and adorable.
I wanted to cry. Yeah.
And this is 11 years later, and they're just like haggard.
I think all of us
to each other. You guys, I should have said tired, because that's what I was meaning. I don't mean they're haggard. I mean they're looking.
No, you did not mean
This is them in first. Look, facial expression. Sorry for you listening to it, but it's like this. To the end season. Just frowning in pain at each other. I didn't mean hacker, sorry.
The tone is definitely showing that Meredith is just kind of going through a lot of transitions. You know what I mean? And this is like her transition season now that Christina's gone. She's learning about her new sister.
Yeah. She's arrived. She's full on biatch. She's not transitioning to anything, but Meredith has said, I am now an attending. I am a general surgeon. I am Meredith Grey. My name is on the front of this.
Is she doing the walk?
So Meredith don't have like the cute heels and stuff.
She
has
Converses,
right? Mm-hmm. like palest plastic pumps. But you know, the thing is that I feel that this whole Derek and Meredith thing is going to be huge.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is an arc that's coming because I feel bad for Derek.
I feel awful for Derek.
Well, in his speech at the very end, he basically made it clear. Like, even though I chose you guys, maybe it wasn't the right decision, but it's a decision I made. And with that said, you were never on board. You were never championing it. You were never excited about it.
Because she was jealous.
Do you think she was jealous?
Is that what that montage was trying to imply?
They were cutting to the chief saying, I was jealous. That's why I left Ellis and then Meredith's face. That's what I caught from it.
Oh.
Star, you missed that? Wow.
No, honestly,
you didn't think that was it? They were intertwining the montage between him saying goodbye to Ellis.
Yeah, no, I did. But I put that on Derek. Way. Yeah, but obviously, I put that on Derek, right? Because when she says, I am the son, she's saying, like, I've been here supporting you, and I've put myself, you know, in the shadows for a while, and you know, I'm trying to step out, and you're acting out because you're jealous. That's how I heard it.
You can interpret it both ways. I can see that.
Yeah. You can interpret
like
it both ways.
He's jealous.
But when it comes down to last season, he was stepping back.
Right.
And then
Being
daddy daycare, and then... I don't even think she was happy with that then. And then now that he stepped forward, I don't think she knows how to feel.
Here's the problem.
So that ending montage, I don't really get
it. Yeah, Meredith.
I think that it was trying to, like you said, they're making her into her mother. And I think that they're trying to make a parallel between what she's doing to Derek and what Ellis did to Richard.
Ooh.
She pushed him away.
This gave me chills.
She pushed him away. And now Meredith's doing the same thing.
Yeah, I agree.
Ellis was like, I'm what it's going to be about. And if you can't handle that, and Richard couldn't. And it's kind of the same thing with Derek.
What I love about Grace, though, is... Again, Maggie, like I said, you become Grey's royalty with this storyline because how genius and how out of this world were they able to have this story, this foundation of what happened in the past and write it. It's just so, it blows my mind. Whoever thought about making Ellis and Richard be this and then Meredith, it's just so good. So good. And I would love for Meredith to lose Derek, have him go to Washington because, shockingly, he called her real quick. Was like, beep, beep, beep.
The way he was doing it was looking at her eye like.
That was cool,
Yes. Yeah, meet me at home, date bakery. Okay, cool, I'll be there. Yeah.
What? No.
We're going. We're done. Bye.
It just doesn't seem like the president of the United States would be like, oh, yeah, that thing, that guy that said no 4 months ago, go back and get him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when you're Derek Shepherd in the hair, I mean, come on now. We've got to
dye the hair.
I want
Dreamy back.
Yeah.
No. McDreamy.
Pepper Dreamy?
No.
I like the one.
That is sexy. The one.
Kelly, he gives you Jersey Shore hair sometimes. Real talk. Sorry. It's like fist pump, Pauly D.
It's a little frizzy. Maybe like some gel or some pomade.
Maybe not the dye, but it just needs to be frothed a little differently.
No freeving around here. So we'll circle back around to Derek and Meredith, but we have to talk about Nicole Herman. Arizona. You know, I love how Shonda tweeted, you know, oh, how about having Gina Davis just walk in the first 3 minutes of Grey's? Boom.
Yeah. Like, she's fantastic.
Fantastic.
So good. Yeah. I love watching her. I wish I get to, like, actually work with her more. Continue. Carry on.
So you don't get to work with her, obviously, because she's working with Arizona a lot. But no, is she as hilarious as she is on the show?
I have literally crossed paths with her 2 times. Not at all. But it's you know, it's really cool to sort of share the TV space with her, even if you know.
Maybe it's so funny, like a fetal surgery that has a heart issue that you guys can team up together.
Pitch it.
Yes. Are you listening? Right.
It really is hilarious. As a viewer, you'd picture all of those people in the hospital together at all times. You're like, of course, I just did a 17-hour day with Gina Davis. Like,
Ellen Pompeo, that's my girl. We super tight. But, you know, Nicole Herman, and Star's always like, what's her name? Nicole Herman's her
Every
name.
Every time. Nicole
Let's
Herman.
Just call her Dr. Gina Davis because
Thelma.
That's what she is to everyone.
Right?
Dr. League of their own.
Gina.
Right?
We'll my favorite movie.
She has like 12 E's in her name. But, you know, she's dying. She has, apparently, her tumor is operable instead of inoperable.
It's a beautiful butterfly tumor.
You know, but we see Arizona.
So wait, it is operable, not...
Because Amelia
said that, right?
A shepherd says it's operable. I mean, it's operable.
Amelia, she's kind of like a liability, though. You never know what
to do. So Arizona went rogue. Arizona decided, I'm going to find out, and she made a phone call, and she got all the charts. That's reasonable to me.
Really?
That's really reasonable to me. Patients' lives are on the line, possibly.
I think she did the right thing. I think it's another lawsuit waiting to happen. Every other episode is like a lawsuit.
You deal with lawsuits, nothing comes of them. You know, they get threatened, you don't get a malpractice suit, you come back to work the next day, you drink the coffee, it's good to go. Seriously. But, you know, and I love Gina Davis's. Her monologue, her dialogue back and forth is so witty, and the banter is like, look, woman, I'm dying, so I don't have very many orgasms left.
favorite scene, I think, orgasm. Of the episode.
She's like,
yeah.
You know, and then with Pinky Dude.
Okay, Pink Scrubs, Graham, we finally got a name out of him. Maybe we did before.
We did,
I finally comprehended it. Pink Scrubs. Anyways, I just love how... What's her name? Dr. Herman. I cannot get it each week. Anyways, I love how her knowledge is like everything Arizona needs to know.
It's like
and
omnipotent.
Is she gone? I don't know. It's hilarious when we're watching it, but it's kind of like annoying. I would not want to work with that.
And Arizona's always like, okay, fine, whatever. Like, okay, like the beat down. You know, yeah. She's like, yes, Oprah, you have spoken. You know?
I know she's in the fellowship, but she's also a doctor too. And I just want Arizona to step up and be like, get off your high horse. Maybe these are the symptoms. I'm not sure, but I'm waiting for that moment for Arizona to like really say what she wants to say without getting trampled over.
I think she has there's probably not going to be that moment because
she's dying.
She's dying.
Well, see, that's the thing. When you're dying, that's the trump card. You don't care what people think about you. You're going to get it on with guys half your age. You're going to eat every ice cream flavor. Yeah. Like, she literally does not give it. She does not care. She is just going to do what she wants, she doesn't care what Arizona says.
Yeah, she's going to win every argument.
Right.
Yeah. Because of that.
I'm dying.
And if she does it, she'll walk off. Right. And I don't have time for this.
She'll have another orgasm. But, you know, we...
But I love when she was like, stop stealing my orgasms, and Arizona's like, I support that.
She's like, fair's fair. Fair's fair, yeah.
Like, I totally support
that. Arizona always has that, like, that twitch in her eye, like,
stop, Jason.
Okay, it's the truth, though. Arizona always has that puzzled look on her face, like, all right, I guess. I don't know.
There's a couple of huge things that we need to talk about. It seemed to me as though Amelia and Owen had a moment.
They
for sure had a moment.
Do you have people? But, do you want to be people together?
Julie, do you think Owen might choke her out like he did Christina?
Stop it.
Well, they both have these demons, right?
Exactly.
That's why they don't need each other.
They're like,
yes. Because
you don't think they should go to be together?
I don't want them. I don't like it. I saw it right now. I don't like it.
Really? Yeah. I think it could be good
for him. I would have said I didn't like it until I saw this scene, and it was cute.
But it's because I want Amelia to get with Arizona, and I don't know why.
Yeah, she's very lesbian.
I just want it.
What?
What does that mean?
She's very Ellen DeGeneres.
I take that back because I already know I'm going to get it on Twitter. I think she's very balanced. She gives herself this butch. The way she sits in the chair, we talk about it each week. She sits all like, you know, a little butch. Can I say that?
She's like, show me the chart.
I'm gonna get in trouble.
No.
Either way, the way she even went towards Owen was a little like, who's your people? You know what I mean?
Oh my God.
Okay, I'm totally gonna get it. I'm stopping right now.
I think
it's Gina, no, it's China.
I think she would be good for Arizona because Arizona's been so down, and I think Amelia could bring her back.
Right,
out.
I agree.
Her fun, loving, carefree roller.
The reality of I feel like the reality. Look at me.
But Amelia's not a lesbian yet. So.
No, I don't think she's a lesbian. She could
I don't
be,
think she will be.
But I think that Amelia's character, believe it or not, is one of the fledgling, like the one that's like, okay, well, there's Amelia. Like, she's cute.
She's always funny though.
Right, but
she's
her and Owen getting together will give her character buoyancy. And also give a new storyline, a place for them to go. Because Amelia, right now, she has her past. She's, you know, been called out for apparently by her friend from AA last week. So
I thought that girl was going to come back too. This episode and apologize or something. I don't know.
Yeah, she should have.
She kind of owes her an apology.
Yeah.
She really does.
But Owen and Amelia would be fantastic. Yeah. I think it'd be a great love interest.
I'm going to need a little more.
Okay, I mean, that's fair.
I think Owen is due some happiness. We saw him tortured season after season with Christina.
And he's so hot. I mean, like, who would not want a piece of that? I mean, seriously.
No.
Owen is sexy.
This is the battle we have every week.
God.
I don't know.
moving on.
I don't think he's unattractive, but
he's not short.
He's
not,
yeah. He's tall. Yeah.
Wow. Yes, God.
How tall?
So, but in sadder news, you guys, J-Bro.
I don't really feel like you should be the one to announce this, because you laughed when you talked about the vet baller. Maybe I should take
that
this.
What? The baby has the unbreakable curse?
I told you. He just went there. It's not funny.
From the movie Unbreakable. That's what was wrong with Samuel Jackson.
That's true.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah.
I never saw the movie.
Me neither.
Of osteogenesis imperfecta.
Which means
like a Hogwarts curse.
Right.
What?
It's totally osteo
perfecta.
But like a Hogwarts call.
Really?
After Buzzers, did you get that? Kristen said it sounds like a Hogwarts. Like what? Like Hermione Ball.
Wingardium Leviosa.
But
it's such a sad thing. But
what's even worse is Edwards is the one that's carrying the torch for this.
Right? I know. I feel like the writers did that on purpose.
Poor Edwards. They
got some stuff to work out, right? I mean, let's just like get that tension, that awkwardness out of the way by just making it as awkward as possible. Make it be as bad as it can so it can get better.
Well, right? I love Stephanie Edwards, her rookie move, and she's like, you know, he's looking really, you know, little, and he's looking, and she's like you're using he. It's a he.
Well, I don't get why didn't April just tell him right then? Because Avery didn't care. He wanted to know the gender.
Yeah.
She wanted to keep it a secret.
That's true. I just can't believe that she spilled the beans. And it
I know. Amateur hour up in here.
Yeah, a little bit.
Stephanie needs a new love interest so she can move on.
Agreed.
No. Oh, got it. Graham.
No, ew.
No, yuck. Stephanie's better than
Stephanie
him.
Stephanie is the new Yang. You gotta let it go. Stephanie's
going.
She's blooming into something else. You know, it's gonna be cool. But yeah, I thought it was very, very ironic and uncanny that she was the one delivering J-Bro's bad news. But that was it, though. That's always we saw. The last scene with them was Avery talking to Stephanie. The end. Nothing.
Except they didn't talk, right?
Right. It was just a
cliffhanger moment.
Right.
It was just
that's gonna be a talk.
It was a bunch of flared nostrils.
This to me is incredibly heartbreaking. And it's going to bring up lots of issues because they have totally different approaches to faith and life.
That's true.
Because she's going to want to have the baby. She's going to want to abort it because you can't, right?
You're right. Yes.
We can't assume that, but just knowing what we know of these characters.
I'm there with you.
Yeah.
Right? Right. Because
it's really, really sad for...
I think that Avery will be coming from the background of, I don't want to go through having it and then watching it die.
And she's going to be like, I'm for Jesus.
She's going to be like, I'm going to have it and see what happens.
I agree. I'm right there with you.
But I just can't believe her mom last week set up the nursery like that. Now that's going to suck for her having to tear that down. I mean,
maybe there's a cure. They could be like the first ones.
But see, it'll take too many episodes for that to come to fruition.
Yeah.
I feel like
they're not going to go that far.
The storyline of predicting, we'll save it for predictions. But Kelly McCreary in studio, AfterBuzz TV. Yes, she is a Libra. Awesome. let's play a little game.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to throw out a question, you give an answer. Yeah? You guys down?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And people have been tweeting us questions
all day.
Oh, great. Yeah.
So I got some questions for you.
Okay, good.
Are we going? All right.
Is this the game?
Wait.
I don't know.
No. It's just a question.
Oh, okay.
No. We're going to play a game real quick. Let's play a game real quick.
Okay. We don't know what he's doing.
Okay. Favorite food?
Wow, this game's going really great.
Anything with curry. Thai curry, Indian curry. I love curry things.
Okay, favorite perfume?
Red Roses by Jo Malone.
Yes, okay. Favorite singer?
At the moment, I'm going to go with Somi.
Somi, okay. Boxers or briefs?
Commander. Boxer briefs.
Yes.
Oh, there you go. Okay, Mary J. Blige or Sade?
That's tough. I'm going to go with Sade.
Dog or cat?
Dog.
Burp or fart?
Burp. All day.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah. There you go. Kelly.
He didn't tell us about this.
No.
I'm the crazy one.
Surprise for everybody.
Not ready. Someone says on Twitter, Steffi at Croco Flow says Amelia in Arizona or Amelia and Maggie.
Whoa.
Which I actually said too.
People have said that. Really? Yes.
I don't know.
That's the main question. When are we going to get more about Maggie's personal life?
Yes.
When is she going to get a love interest?
You guys don't think that meeting her father and her sister are, like, enough personal life to deal with for a while?
I think so, for right now.
I mean, it's a lot. It's
when
a lot.
When you put it that way, I want her to have a boyfriend.
Of course. Oh, my gosh. And that would be so much fun to explore.
She doesn't even need a boyfriend, just like a... quickly.
What, a jump off?
Yeah.
Oh, she certainly needs to get laid. Yeah. Oh, most definitely. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, she's got, look, we've seen tonight, like, the relationship with Richard is starting to thaw, and they're going to mend that and have that play out. But we'll learn a little bit. I'll tell you this. But it won't be until January, February.
It's okay. Mm-hmm. We can wait.
We can wait. We'll be.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, you'll learn a little bit more about, like, sort of her history.
Good.
In I that think regard. That
we predicted last week that we're going to see her parents.
Yeah, they're going to come
and
do a song
gonna
and dance.
And they're going to come up, and it's going to be a big
frog.
Issue.
Oh, with a frog.
And Mary's going to be like, oh.
I didn't have that.
And she's like, oh, now I hate Maggie again.
You're all smiling.
I can see that happening. Okay, on Twitter, they're asking, Patty Sassy Squad is asking, have you ever touched Pat Dempsey's hair?
Oh, my God. I'm sure I have, like, by mistake or something. Oh, in the hugging scene, I'm sure I must have touched it then. Not intentionally.
They're
not like,
can you do it intentionally?
Can I touch your hair?
They're like not like that. Can we stop stroking his hair again?
No.
Can you just
didn't
do
ask
it
him?
And take a picture and put it on Twitter for us?
Yeah.
Use our hashtag.
Listen, I am a curly-haired person, and...
Don't touch the hair.
It's a little bit... It's not even, like... I don't mind if people ask, and, like, depending on who they are, I will give permission, but, like, listen, it's not a novelty to me. You know what I mean? I'm like, I don't need to touch your hair. It's very nice.
I love that.
So, okay, I want to know, so who is on set, who is the one that people are just like, don't talk to him until he's had his coffee? Who's that guy?
Oh, Surly in the Morning,
basically, who's not friendly?
Who's the DB on set?
The DB on set.
What is that?
I'm gonna
for?
Go with Got it. Sarah Drew. She's the worst.
We have met
horrible.
Sarah Drew. She is a tiny spark of
I
sunshine.
I know, obviously.
I'm sure guys, she's like 9 months pregnant.
Exactly.
Like,
no, you got no. I mean, there's nobody. There's. We get to play make-believe all day long, you know, so it's like you just kind of show up and it's sometimes it's very early in the morning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think we try to keep in good spirits in general.
The Scrubs, my mom and my brother are medical professionals,
mm-hmm.
and the Scrubs on Grey's fit perfectly.
Perfect. I was going to say something
perfectly,
about that.
Like, you guys have, like, just
Taylor,
boss.
Yeah.
So cleavage. In your contract, did you tell Shonda, listen, I need to have a certain type of Scrubs mm-hmm. fit a certain way?
Yeah, I was like, only cashmere. I want them lined with silk.
Helmut Lang.
Helmut Lang. No, I mean, I've just... We have very detailed fittings, and Mimi Melgard up in costume, she hook it up, you know, and like, you know, Capshaw's got a special scrub, she like doesn't like the sleeves, so her sleeves are removed.
Right. That's so awesome.
Like, yeah, we have them sort of customized.
So what is your favorite scene that you've done so far?
That we've seen.
Oh, that's hard.
Okay, you one know, of them then.
I had so... Oh, I know. No, easy. The vending machine scene.
Yes.
With Richard. Oh, yes.
That was my favorite scene to shoot. Kevin McKidd directed that episode, and he's so wonderful to work with, and I felt like really challenged as an actor, and I felt like it was a really creative sort of sparkly moment between me and Jim Pickens, the other actor, and my best friend happened to be on set that day.
Aww.
And it was like, it was just, I loved shooting that scene. And I loved, like, having Maggie, like, just... that was the first time we sort of saw her experience, like, some realness. You know,
right.
She's, like, been in professional, like, don't mess up mode. And
all she wanted to talk about. She wanted that Snickers. I mean, this really satisfies.
The granola. Yeah, I know.
Now, you're super professional all the time. Even when you're jogging and you're not... out of breath, and each week I'm like, she is really fit, or is this just, how are you jogging and not tired at all?
I only have to jog like a few yards per take.
I know.
Maggie, no, listen, I've decided that Maggie is the kind of person who's like, a machine. Like, she runs her body and her life like a machine. Like, you know, she knows she needs 5 almonds at 2:15. You know what I mean? And, like, you know, she knows exactly how much running she can do and how to pace herself so that she can be on the phone, yes, with her parents.
Hey, Mom.
And running. Great. And not be breathless.
I'm on mile 26.
Oh.
Her running with
Bailey was hysterical.
Hey, Bailey, want to go together? That scene was so... That's another one of my favorite ones. But actually, maybe this is kind of funny. I was... when I was in college, I had the option of, you know, I had to take a PE. Did you guys have to take PE in college?
Okay, yeah. I thought you said take a PE.
Oh, no. Physical education PE. For all you radio listeners out there couldn't see me articulating letters. And I took a class called self-paced running, which maybe I shouldn't bust myself out like this, going to take my degree away, but like, I had to, you know, you had to run a certain number of miles per week or like, and just, you just have to write them down in a notebook in a locker, and then your test to prove or to demonstrate that you were keeping up with your running was to, go for a run with the teacher, and you had to be able to keep up conversation the entire time that you were running. It was 2 miles or 20 minutes, and whichever came first, and that was
2 miles or 20 minutes.
2 miles or 20 minutes.
You can run 2 miles.
You can do it. You can do 11-minute miles.
And you passed?
Yeah.
No,
I passed. I did manage to pass.
I passed.
Wow. But you didn't run all semester.
Yeah.
So, Kelly, you're from New York.
Yes. Well, I grew up in Wisconsin, but I moved here.
Oh, you're Cheesehead, Wisconsin.
Yes.
Madison?
Packer fan. No, Milwaukee.
Milwaukee, okay. Yeah. And so you were acting Broadway. Tell us about, I mean, we know you as Maggie Pierce, but let's meet Kelly McCrary.
You just busted onto the scene.
Yeah. You leaned in, girl.
Leaned all the way in. I went to college in New York, and I stayed, and I was just like, I just want to do great plays at great theaters, and I got to do that pretty much starting, I started working professionally, like, right after I graduated, and did great plays at, like, great regional theaters, and then slowly was like, maybe I'd like to start doing some TV, and then I started doing commercials for a while, and then I was, like, slowly popping up episodically here and there, and then I got to do Broadway, and then, you know, it just, it all seemed like sort of a natural progression.
Yeah.
And then I got this job, and now I'm here.
That's awesome.
Well, yeah.
What was the, Emily Owens, MD. Mm-hmm. You were on there for, it was for a season.
Right.
So you got to work with all these crazy words, and was that something like a transition for you, or you felt like you had that under your belt when you came to Grey's, that you were like, oh, I know some of these medical terms, or do you work at it?
Well, unlike Maggie, Tyra was a bit of a slacker, and she was kind of around for comic relief for most of the season. I mean, she also had this relationship, this stuff with her dad, actually, to work out on that show, too. So that was the focus. She wasn't that invested in the medical things that were happening. And I'm still a little bit of a jargon virgin on this show, and it's work.
Yeah,
it seems like you're pulling it off really, really well. I would believe that you're a doctor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If I just met you.
You have an aura of intelligence, for sure.
We were like, God, this Maggie girl is so intense. She goes from happy to pissed in like 2.2 seconds. You know, you go in.
Well, look, she is very serious about doctoring, that Maggie Pierce.
Medicining,
but doing the medical. And, you know, she's very serious about it. And, like, yeah, especially in those first couple of episodes, she was really trying to establish... Actually, you know what? I got advice. I went and watched a surgery, a real heart surgery.
Oh,
and, oh yes.
Oh, I wish I was
that
there.
That would be so cool.
I've seen one.
I would absolutely never. Fascinating. You have?
No.
Third time to charm.
So gullible. I went and watched one, and one of the surgeons, she was the general surgeon in the room, afterwards she was like, oh, you're playing the head of cardio? Listen. You know, I will believe you if you are never a pushover and if you are never like, she was like, it is so hard to be a woman surgeon. It is so hard to be the head of the department. Like, you have to be pretty fierce.
Great advice.
It was great advice. And I was like, listen, if that's what it takes for an actual doctor to believe in this character, then I am going to invest in that completely. And you know, sadly, one of the things that she said, because, you know, I like being a girl and I'm, you know, I can be really girly and feminine sometimes. So she was like, you know, like, you got to nip that in the bud. Like, there's no girliness. There's definitely no crying in baseball, you know, and like, sort of keep a lid on. That's one perspective on it. That's one experience. But I was like, I'm going to hang my hat on that because. Yeah.
And honestly,
you know,
it explains so much about the character. That's probably one of the reasons that she seems way more realistic as a doctor than some of them.
Yeah, that's true.
I love the scene where you were going over for dinner. So good. And just, you know, like, I've got a dress and I got it together. It was just so, it was nice to see that vulnerability, because we see a vulnerability with Maggie in glimpses, you know, but to see her normal and to be like, you know, okay, well, I'm here, you know, I'm all nervous and stuff. It was so nice. I'm glad, again, the Grey's magic, it's coming back. Because for a while there, it was, when Heigl left, it was like, damn. You know?
See, for me, it was Lexi and Mark when they left, when they all died, and then
that was so sad.
That plane crash just ruined me emotionally.
Does Shonda like?
Is she awesome? Is she intimidating? Like, tell us about Shonda.
Well, she's in the writer's room and I'm on the set. So honestly, I wish I could say that we're like BFF and go have coffee and stuff, but like, she is up there, sort of in the ivory tower of the all three writers' rooms, really. You know, I mean, I don't know how she does it. I imagine she has an enormous amount of support staff, but she is approachable. She's very approachable. She comes to the table reads, and you know, she's warm and greeting us and everything. And you know, she's made herself available, you know, by phone and email and everything. And she's. Yeah. I mean, she's a busy woman. I'm not going to be the one to be like, I have a question about every word in the script. Please email me back right now. You know, like, I'm going to pick my battles with, you know,
obviously.
That one.
So what are your hopes for Maggie?
Oh, I hope dearly, like everyone, that she and Richard make a connection, because she, you know, she said in that one episode how she loves her parents and they're so amazing, and I'm really excited. I really hope we get to meet those parents.
We will.
And see how kooky and awesome they are.
They're probably being cast over the season.
Right. Yeah.
The break.
Yeah, we'll see. But I would love to have her be with the people who understand her best and like let them in and really connect with them. What else? Yeah, it would be nice to have somebody hot to make out with.
I know.
At work, you know, pretending.
I mean, they gave Bailey Ben. He's kind of sexy. They gotta give you something good.
Jason George, we've been saying
we need some new men around there.
Oh, yeah.
We do. We need some men around for the ladies who like men, because there's a lot of single ladies on the show.
Yeah.
And you know, they're all very serious doctors and serious about what they do, but you know,
we need some more ladies. On-call sex scenes.
We haven't gotten, like, I feel like the last relationship that really developed was Joe and Alex.
There hasn't been anything new.
Everyone's kind of back
in a while.
And forth. Yeah,
that's true.
J-Pro is like steady. You know, they're like a.
Yeah,
well, I guess only since last season.
They're
I guess that's
thing.
Not
they're
that.
Thing. That was
long
that was just a huge thing, though. Those two coming together.
Yeah.
Kelly McCreary, God, thank you so much for stopping by.
It was a pleasure. Yeah. Gosh, that went by quickly.
Yeah, I know. Well, because, I mean, you're so wonderful. I mean, we enjoyed talking. Can I be honest? I was like, Kelly McCreary, I just got the email today. So I was like, oh, my God, I have to pull over and be like, thank you, Jesus.
That's so sweet.
But you're such a great character on the show. It's great that we get to have you in here and talk to you about...
It's my pleasure.
You know, your character and how it's going. Before we wrap it up, though, I want to ask you, why do you think that your character is always shunning Weber away? Because there was two episodes where you ended with your monologue and you just walked away. You didn't even give him a moment. And all of the fans are like, why didn't you at least let him speak?
I'll tell you exactly why. Listen, Maggie, I think that Maggie is like, yo, you're a stranger to me.
Right.
And you lied to me.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Like, yeah. You know, that's, I mean, I don't have any reason to feel, Maggie, I'm speaking as Maggie,
yes.
You know, doesn't have any reason to feel invested. I mean, but she has something to learn from him.
Clearly.
And like, he's a kind man, you know, and I think that they'll probably come together on those terms. But I think she's like, you know, we don't owe each other anything. Right. You don't owe me a fatherhood, you know, or like, you know, my childhood or anything. Right.
And so. I think just as much as she doesn't, I think Weber needs Maggie.
Yeah.
And if she doesn't, he does.
She gives him life too, you know, because you're the only, besides Meredith, you're the only connection to Ellis. And, you know, you're a link to that. That's kind of been like gone, you know? And whole story.
And I love that Weber has the power now and he wants some of his knowledge. Mm-hmm. That's going to be fun to unfold in the next.
Seriously, we are thrilled to have you on, Grace. Yes. And we're thrilled to have you in the studio tonight.
Thank you so much.
We are going to miss everybody. This is way too long of break.
Right. Yeah.
What are they thinking?
January 29th is when we're back.
What am I supposed to do for the next 3 months?
Right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I really don't have any predictions. I think we talked about them all.
Yeah.
I am hoping and praying to the Shonda gods and the writers that there is something that they can do for
J-Bro's
baby.
Yes.
That just cannot be. It's too heartbreaking.
Unbreakable is not happening. Sorry about it.
Be a beautiful baby. Can't wait to see who they cast.
Okay, then. Well, with that said, happy holidays, everyone. That's going to do it for us on this supersized edition of the Grey's Anatomy After Show winter finale. Kelly McCreary, always a pleasure. You're truly a stunner.
How can everyone find you?
Yes.
On Twitter.
I'm on Twitter at KMcCrearyNYC.
And she does tweet.
She does.
I do tweet.
And she answers your questions.
I do try.
Jason, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at JJCForever and also on Instagram at TheJasonJCard. That's about it.
And you guys, until 2015 when we meet again, can find me on all the social medias at Julie Partin, JuliePartin.
You guys can find me on Twitter at Kristen Strange and on Instagram at Kristen Aubrey Strange.
And you can find me on all things social media, StarrSession. I'm Star Session.
There you go. Happy holidays, everyone. See you in the new year. It's been a pleasure. Until next time, bye.
Happy holidays.
Executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff. We would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.